Please be seated, won't you? Well, good morning. I prepared a few things for my sermon today. In today's gospel, we hear of the frustration of Zebedee. Have you ever thought about that? There he is with his two sons fishing, and they get up and leave immediately from their boat and leave him with the work, not only for that day, but for the whole community ahead. It maybe isn't always the take that we look at that, but why would two people who have a good business, a family business, get up to follow Jesus? Why would they walk away from what was familiar to find their place among the apostles and the disciples and those who followed Jesus at the time? Maybe we don't think about that. Maybe it seems like a story that's so far away that we don't really consider our own ability to follow Jesus in that same way. And yet something stirred them. Something about who Jesus was, something about his passion, his power, his love, and what he had to offer the world stirred them to that moment. In 1964, the first order of business was the reading of a letter from a Bishop Turner setting forth the conditions of Father Murphy and St. Thomas the Apostle's mission. Now, St. Thomas was started before that, but it was rogue. Did you know that? The bishop wouldn't approve of it at first. So we're really 52 years old, but if you sort of look at the official moment when the church recognized it, it was in 64. So I thought I'd just let you know a few things some of our faithful people were doing back in the 60s as this church was starting. And part of the reason I'm doing this, in case you don't know, is that our annual meeting is Wednesday night. And so part of our annual meeting is we review the business, we elect vestry members, we hear a report on the last year, we have some fun. I like to have fun at the annual meeting, so the staff has prepared some funny things to happen that night. We look at a slideshow, and we think about all the things that have happened in the last 12 months. We also think about what's going to happen next. And so I thought I'd just remind you about what some of the early people at St. Thomas were doing. At a later meeting, it was noted that the pledges had increased and that the annual pledge drive for the next year would be $4,526. The budget would be kept the same, with an adjustment for extra pledges being made on the last month of the year. They had a bill for the babysitter for the nursery, and that charge was going to run $5 a week. It was noted that there was extra days of rent that year because the building, for whatever reason, there were more days in the year. I'm not sure how that happened, but that's what the minutes say. There was another report that Father Murphy said that there was a real problem with committee attendance, and then the next sentence says, "It might be a good idea if we tell people when the committees are going to meet." Father Murphy shared his desire for a parish dinner, a covered dish, possibly after services on Sunday. Some people talked about acquiring a building site and discussed the plans of the Nichols Company to start building not too far from our present location. There was another possibility of sites reserved for the church. Father Murphy hoped that the bishop would be here for confirmation, and John Hammond prepared a list for ushering on Sundays, with a member of the mission committee being in charge for a month. And then there was a suggestion that we have a contest to name the newsletter. Don't think about that. Now we'll jump ahead a little bit, and you might recognize some of these names that I'm going to say. So the July budget was discussed, and the items for supply priests and for the organists were noted. There were times when Father Murphy would be out of town, and so Father Murphy suggested the senior warden write a note of thanks to the organist for the volunteer service. Jim Burkhead moved that the budget be accepted as presented. Jim, I don't know if you remember that or not. And then Joe Cox, is Joe here? Joe thought that that motion should also be carried as well. So, and then later on that day, Frank Findorf was appointed to another task force for the Every Member Canvas. So Frank, if you're here, so some of our folks have been here for a long time. I thought it'd be fun to hear that. And you know that saying, the more things change, sometimes the more things stay the same? You remember that saying? So in August of 66, it's reported that the reserve fund that had been set apart for the church operations had dwindled down and that currently there was only $25 in the checking account. And then there's lots of reports of procuring an organ and doing all kinds of different things, of getting property, and eventually of heading out and starting the church. And at the end of 1968, the yearly income was $8,534, and expenses were $8,726. I think it's fun to look back and to remember. But the funny thing is, when you read these minutes, you don't hear as much about other things that were happening. You don't think about that in the 60s that the civil rights movement was happening all around us. There's little words every once in a while that you sort of hear something about that. You don't remember that the Korean War had just wrapped up and the Vietnam War was beginning. You don't hear of the moon landing, of the assassination of a president. And you don't hear about the way people prayed or exactly all the pastoral care that was taking place in the community. You don't hear about the baptisms or confirmations or marriages. You don't hear about the faith struggles that people might have had. But I think if you really looked a little deeper, what you hear is a sense of God's call to have a community gathered. A community gathered in this particular tradition. A community gathered to do faithful ministry in whatever call that might have been, through outreach and through community and through all kinds of efforts. And a community that took some risks and took some steps out in faith to do all kinds of things. And maybe we don't see ourselves sometimes when we connect in history, but we've got three folks in the room that were there. And I think that's kind of fun. I was planning for this service for that to happen, by the way. I said it at the other services, but I knew you guys would be here. So a lot of churches don't have that. We don't have the memory living with us. But how does the gospel get passed on from generation to generation? It's always interesting to me because as I have conversations as a priest, there are people who are just coming to the faith. People are asking really hard questions about what it means to believe in God, what it means to believe in Jesus, what it means to be Christian. There are others who struggle with things that have happened in their lives. It's hard to put things together. It's hard to understand why God would allow certain things to happen, why God wouldn't prevent violence in the world, or why God wouldn't stop their loved one's cancer. There are all kinds of questions and times of deep need in the community. I was thinking a lot about where we're headed as a church. And the funny thing is, if you picked up the last couple of years' vestry minutes, some of the same topics are still being talked about. We're talking about a reserve fund. The dollars are different, but we're talking about a reserve fund from the church. We've had a lot of work done on our organ, or we've hoped to have a lot of work done on your organ. I'm going to get that in a minute. We thought about our building and what it means, and we expanded. Over the last several years, we've worked really hard to expand our physical plant so that we have more opportunity for ministry. It's not meant to be a monument. It's meant to be a tool, and it's meant to be used and worn out. The best thing for me would be in about 10 years, we have to talk about painting everything again. You know, we have to talk about getting new carpet and stuff like that. That means we've done lots of ministry, and we've used the building the way it's meant to be used. We talk a lot about getting things together and worrying about the staff and the children's ministry and the nursery and all kinds of different things. Those are all things we're still doing. So what were the risks that we took? Well, about 5 years ago or 6 years ago, a vestry got together and took a risk to head out into building our new parish hall and redoing our kitchen. And for those of you who were able to be with us in that time, you might remember we had lots and lots and lots of meetings. Lots of meetings talking about what we wanted, what we hoped for, what we thought we might have. We debated and we considered and we discussed and we met and we discussed and we debated and considered and prayed and thought and then made some decisions about where we would go. We had a few surprises along the way, like we didn't know that our land wasn't platted. And if you know anything about building stuff, that's kind of an important thing. And it wasn't that it was ignored, it just wasn't required when they built it. And the city said, oh, by the way, there's a tax. And it was about, I don't remember the exact number, it was something like 30 or 40 cents per square foot. And so it wasn't like a little tax, it was $50,000 worth of tax. And they said, well, you can't build unless you pay it. We said, okay. And we said, well, let's see if we can get out of it. So we wrote some people on the city council, and some of you did this for me on behalf, I really appreciate it. We wrote, we called, and they said, well, you know, we kind of want you to pay your taxes. That's kind of how it works. We had some air conditioners break, and we knew that we needed to replace things, and so we made some decisions. And so we have a little more debt than we thought that we would have at the end of the project. A couple of years ago, we had an organ company come from St. Louis. We actually had several organ companies come and look at our organ, and we had received a gift, and we were hoping to do more with it and to rebuild the organ so we can have good music and continue to have that as a tool for us in the future. And we found this company, and they made some promises, and we went and looked at work they'd done before, and we talked to their references, and we thought it was great, and then we signed the contract, and then we waited a few months, not much had happened. We waited a few months more, not much had happened. We made a phone call. Oh, I'm right on it, and then not much happened. And then we said, well, we want to come look at what you've done. Okay, and we go, and we were sort of shown some stuff. And then it didn't seem to really happen, and nothing was happening, and we kept calling, and pretty soon, this last summer, we got a call from the Attorney General's office in Missouri that said, we understand you have a contract with this company. Well, let me tell you a little bit more about the other seven churches that have a contract with this company. It's not a phone call that you like to get as a priest. The Attorney General calling you, not asking you advice on a case, but telling you of a problem with a contractor. And so we were hoping they would be supervised by the courts, and they were hoping that they could get the work done for all the churches, and it just, the person, Chris Kiefer, was not able to do the work that he said he was going to do. And so we, along with another Episcopal church and a Catholic church and Presbyterian and some other churches, found that the work that we had contracted for was not completed. And so the Attorney General said, well, you can get some of your stuff back, and you can get some of the pipes that we think that you bought, but you got to come get them in a couple of days. So I thought, well, I've got a couple of nice, young, strapping guys on the staff. And I thought it might do them some good to learn a little bit about how heavy organ pipes are. And I made it conditional upon Stephen's ordination to the priesthood that he get the organ. So Beth and Stephen and Ben, fortunately or unfortunately, I'd had a car accident, so I really couldn't lift anything. So they headed off in a U-Haul. And if you go to our assembly room, you'll notice in the back there's a whole lot of organ pipes stacked up against the wall. I think about 400. Yeah. And how much does a 16-foot, I don't know, what's it called, Beth? Okay, I can't say that word. A lot, right. So brought them down, three flights of stairs, loaded the truck because the freight elevator happened to be broken that day. And so Beth has been working with another organ company, and we're hoping to salvage as much as we can from that effort and continue to do some work on our organ, and we're hoping to get some of our money back when the time comes. It's been a frustration, to say the least, but not anything that we could have prevented. And we did everything we could to make sure that the company was right. And so I'll let you know more as that comes along, because there is a lawsuit that the Attorney General is taking against them. So those things are some of the things that have happened in this last year that are sort of the business side of the church. You'll be hearing more about our capital campaign that we're going to do to sort of begin to shore up the finances of the church, and also to finish the parking lot, some of the work that we had hoped for, and continue to address the debt over the next several years.